Oh, thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you for this time together. We glorify you, Lord, in this time of reflection, time of getting things right with you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for helping us do that. We ask and we pray, Lord, that you be with us tonight, that your anointing be throughout this whole fellowship, Lord. And we just thank you for allowing us to be able to get together in fellowship, Lord. Seek you, Lord, to do the things that you want us to do. We ask, Lord, that tonight that you lead us and guide us and direct our ways, Lord. Just ask, Lord, and thank you for the open heaven that we have, that when we pray, we know that we're going to get our prayers answered, every one of them. And we praise you, Father, for allowing us this time together. And in the name of Jesus right now, I come against any kind of hindering spirits with our communications, that nobody will have any trouble anymore in the name of Jesus. While we're on tonight, no trouble whatsoever in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that everybody's communications is going to be fit and fine in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us. Amen. Okay, anybody got a prayer request? You let Patty. Anybody got a prayer request? I do. I want y'all to agree with me for my son-in-law, my grandson-in-law. He hadn't been able to eat here recently, and I found out this is Tiffany's husband. He went to the doctor and he had a growth of some sort in his esophagus. And they have taken a sample of it to send it off to see if it's cancerous. So I just want y'all to agree with me about that. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that we do have authority. Lord, he's at best a nominal Christian. He's a good man. He takes care of his wife and his kids. He's very meek. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you work on his heart while he's in there and bring him into the kingdom, Lord, in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus. And I command this growth not to be any cancer at all, that it be just something that will go away. But Lord, if you're using this to bring him into the kingdom in a mighty way, then Father, I ask that you use it, bring him in, and then that cancer to be gone in the name of Jesus, and baptize him in the Holy Spirit as well, Lord. Let him, Lord, I ask and pray that you would open up his spiritual ears to hear the message of the truth of the gospel instead of this garbage that he's been getting out of the Methodist church and the Baptist church, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you would open up my granddaughter's eyes too, that this Baptist religion is just that. It's just a religion of man. And Father, I ask and I pray that you use this to bring them in. Father, thank you for it. I just praise you, Father, for doing that for Ryan and Tiffany. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord.
I had Michael.
Yeah, Missy. Yes.
After you, Missy, sorry, I just butted in.
That's okay. Did you say his name is Ryan, Michael?
Yeah.
You know, I know because my oldest son's middle name is Ryan. Okay. Means little king.
It's
little
what?
King. Little king.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're bringing him into the kingdom in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Also, how about if we pray about all this maneuvering of aircraft carriers and military movement and everything. Something's cooking. So you mentioned that this morning, and Barbara sent me an article and I read it. So how about if we pray about that? Go for it. I put it on your lap.
On whose lap?
Yours.
Oh, you sent me something?
No. You didn't hear what I said, did you? You was busy.
No, I was busy doing something else. I knew you were just rattling. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Missy. You go ahead. I just couldn't help it.
Oh, boy. The military making maneuvers with the aircraft carriers and, yeah. and here in the States and everything. There's a big movement, and don't know exactly why. I don't know if you heard what that's about, but I'd like to for us to pray about that, and I want you to pray about it.
Well, yeah, that's they've got the Chinese have troops up in Canada, but they also have troops down in Mexico. Yeah, that's what we read. I don't know whether it's true or not, but that was when David was telling me about it. I hadn't seen it. But anyway, yeah, we can pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know what's going on. I know you're in control. We believe in your sovereignty. And Lord, we just ask that you give Trump wisdom and keep peace in his heart, that we know that this is the deep state China. This is not Xi, it's Chairman Xi. But this is the deep state China that's doing it, rattling sabers, so to speak. And Father, we just ask and we pray right now that you stand them down. You stand them down so that you can get the glory, Lord. I don't believe that you want this to happen at this point in time. And we thank you, Father, for pushing them back. Standing them down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I heard it was like 50,000 troops. So I don't know. I don't know how in the world you can get that many up there and not know, you know, they not know that they're there, but I'm sure that they know.
Well, we just ask you to send your angels to send confusion into the camp of the enemies, Lord. And scatter them and disrupt their communications and just any plots and schemes that they have. I read that it's possibly has to do with when the election is turned over to Trump. So we just thank you, Lord, for immobilizing them, and may they not be able to do what they want, Lord, for lack of communication, not being able to communicate, just shut down their communications. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I know that, I don't know, Andrew probably knows more about it than I do, but I know that Trudeau is a China friend. Okay, anyone else? Hey, Claudia. Good to see you.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams, girl. Did you have your hand up, Pat?
I did, but I think Greg beat me to it.
Oh, Greg, go ahead. I'm sorry. I skipped right over you.
Okay, so I was just going to agree, Michael, with regard to Ryan, particularly in Tiffany. If I just jump in here, Lord, this man is important because he is the head of Tiffany, who I'm assuming is Michael's granddaughter. So, Lord, I just join my concern with Michael and the rest of us here over this cancer situation that seems to have reared its head. But Lord, we look to you and for more than that. We join our faith for the destruction of that cancer and for all your purpose to be achieved, Lord, that the place that he has with Tiffany as warriors together for the sake of their children or children they may yet to have, and also for your kingdom, Lord, that all this would come to pass and that their marriage would be held in high honor, that it would not be a marriage of two, but a marriage of three, and that your place would be recognized and honored. Amen. Hello.
Amen. Amen. They said that this condition just doesn't happen in 49-year-old people. They said that's generally something in older people, a lot older. But we know who's in charge, so I don't worry about it. We just stay in the rest. Yeah, Pat.
I just wanted to continue where to agree. His name was Ryan, I guess you said?
Yes, sir.
Father, we thank you for Ryan. Lord, we thank you that you have drawn his heart, that he is part of the Baptist or Methodist religion there. Thank you, Father, that you are greater than the deceptions that are in this, the apostate world. Father, I just ask that you would bring forth in his mind the understanding, the clarity, that there are only two lives available to live on this planet. And that's ours or the Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would penetrate his heart and his mind with that understanding. I bind any spirit, bind any thinking eternal security or can't be lost or whatever else the deceptions are that are in there, Lord, that tend to undercut your word and your truth and make it very improbable and very hard for people to repent when they don't really have the desperate need to repent. So, Lord, I just thank you that you are greater than this irrational thinking, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. You've given us to guide us into all truth. I just pray that you would fill him, fill those voids in his life with the Holy Spirit and make him aware of these things. Use the pressure and the fear of this disease to give him time to really ponder the important parts of life and things that he needs to really be thinking about. But I agree, Lord, you are able to restrain the parts of the curse that are absolutely necessary to accomplish your work, and you're able to utilize them and enforce them for accomplishing your work. So we just trust you for that, Lord. We thank you for his freedom. We thank you for his repentance and his awareness of a new life in Christ, a new depth of your spirit in him. We just agree with Michael and everybody here, Lord, that it is done. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
Something came to me. I just break all curses that have been spoken upon Ryan in the name of Jesus. We cast down all works of witchcraft in the name of Jesus, and we cancel all assignments the enemy has upon him. For Lord, we believe that he's one of your elect because he's Michael's household. And we thank you, Lord, for granting him repentance and bringing him into your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, he is a big guy. He's probably 230, 240 now. He's down to close to 200, if he's not at 200. Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight. Amen. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? Elisha, who are you going to hit with that spoon, boy? Anybody else got a praise report or a prayer request? Oh, Pat, go ahead. I'm sorry, I missed you.
I think Larry raised his hand, didn't he? No?
Okay. Did you raise your hand, Larry?
Yeah.
Connie did. Go ahead, Connie.
I got a prayer request and a praise. Praise Jesus for what he's done.
Amen.
I've been praying for my children and Lord and grandchildren. The Lord told me to go ahead and leave them alone and give them to him. And I've been doing that. But lately, he's put in my heart to ask Tina's friends, pray for them to be saved so they can go and talk to Tina. Well, I was in at Walmart today, and Tina's best friend turned her life over to the Lord. She gave her life, her heart to the Lord and repented and said that she had, afterwards, she had a dream in a dream. And I said, I've never heard of that before. And she said, what it is, it's a dream, but you wake up in the dream, I guess. You ever heard anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So she said she heard a noise that she never heard in her life. She said, and then she went outside. This was in her dream. She went outside and there was a trumpet sounding and angels all over the sky, all over. And she looked up and then she looked down and she'd seen people getting their heads cut off and their body raising to heaven. And she said she feels like the Lord was telling her to get ready. And she knows all about this mass. She has to wear it at work. And she's really been pretty sick for about a couple weeks. And she said she's weak when she gets home. She knows it all about not to take the vaccine. She's been telling others. She said that she's been praying that she's going to talk to Tina about it. But she's seen that Tina has turned away from God in the last 2 years. But they are very close. And that's what I've been praying, that God would bring Tina's friend to her. And just pray now that Tina will go to her and my Tina will, you know, God's through her and Tina will listen, because she knows my grandkids and her both knows that this politics has drawn them close to God, because they know the difference of the devil and God, how good God is and how the devil is. And so it's really drawing them closer. And I just want you to pray that Tina will accept this, that she won't just turn it away like she does to me, because she is a real close friend. And I just know God's done this now, and it's going to work. Her prayers will be answered.
Amen. That's right, Lord.
If you can pray that. Go ahead and pray.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, Lord, we lift her up to you. And we thank you, Father, that you are going to open up her ears and her eyes to hear this message that this lady's going to give her in Jesus' name. And we ask and we pray, Father, that you bring her in a mighty way. And that we ask and we pray the fear of God come all over her in Jesus' name, and that she would come into the kingdom. Not only come into the kingdom, that when she gets baptized, she comes up out of there speaking in tongues, baptized in the Holy Spirit and the whole whole thing, Lord, and we praise you for it, that Connie will have somebody she can talk to in her family, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. And amen. It's going to happen, Connie. You believe that? Amen. Me too. I believe it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Phil.
A prayer request.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I had a prayer request. If y'all could agree with me, Father, I bring to you my brother Pavel. You know him very well. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. He was raised with us in the church, and he was raised amongst all the legalism and all the religion. And he stepped away because he didn't find you in it, Lord. And he's over there in Virginia working for NASA. He's up in the cosmos every day. Close to you, and we just pray that you show yourself to him in a mighty way, Father, that you wake him up and you bring him into the bride. You rekindle the Holy Spirit in his heart, Father, and just bring him back, Father. Bring him back to you. We pray in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that he is going to be in the kingdom, and we thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to him in Jesus' name. What, is he a pilot?
He's an engineer working for NASA up in Virginia, Wallops Flight Center. Yeah.
Okay.
Launching rockets, you know.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for your brother. Jesus' name. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother. Did you have something else for you? Okay, go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was, I just wanted to, some things that I've been praying about in my family and whatnot, and the Lord has really spoke to me through that message last night as I listened to it. And he hasn't finished the whole process yet, but it's certainly he opened my eyes. He brought me to that dream, Eve Brast dream in the I don't know if I'm sure everybody gets the downloads the messages Wednesday night and Sunday night and whatever was that one of the messages on Wednesday night there last night where Eve had a dream is the one that she was dreamed about. She walked into a house and countertops were covered with bags of snacks and whatever. I'll just let everybody read it if they want to read it, but it really is kind of about the apostate mindset, the house, and it's kind of what it's talking about. But anyway, the Lord really connected some dots with me and kind of brought me back to thinking about some things that I needed to address. But I just want to, I'll basically cut it short. And what it is clearing my own conscience with my family, my relationships in my family. Kind of like I have grown up when I come to know the Lord. I entered into a system that did not know the Lord. when, and I kind of had to, I'm sure like everybody else, had to learn my way through weaving my way, just trusting the Lord to provide the truth to dig out of the deception and the darkness that is so permeates our society and the religious system out there. And it's taken me a lot. I mean, I don't know if everybody else learns this way, but I learn through failure mostly. You know, it's nine times falling and the 10th time I get it, and then I've got it and I don't have to, you know, I've got it. Don't have to worry about that. But, if you are, not aware of that learning process and you were a bystander sitting on the side and observing that process, you would see somebody that's about 99% failure. And you don't see the points of where you've made it, where you've, you know, caught the thing, or you've overcome. Not that I am touting my own horn or whatever, that is the case with me, but I just tend to learn that way. So I can honestly say I've probably left a trail of tears of various different offenses in my life up through this process, and so I've just the unfortunate thing is as we let these things lie dormant and unresolved and just push them off and get used to them and kind of just let them set to the side, I think what the Lord has shown me is that they tend to neutralize your power and your strength and it just weakens you to stand in faith. And I believe I'm in that position. So my prayer is that God would open up my eyes and give me grace to see the things that I need to correct, and to give me the grace to follow through on those things, whether it be confession, whether it be going to people and talking to people, or whatever it would be. It doesn't really matter, because I know that I've been down this path before, so to speak. And when the Lord starts freeing things in your life, peeling away the onion or removing those things that bind you and tether you back to that old life, whether you know it or not or feel it or not, there's a little strings or cords that keep pulling you and dragging you down like an anchor. And when he starts to remove them, and the more they get removed and the more you continue moving in that direction, and he starts dropping those things off, the end result is tremendous freedom and just a tremendous lightness of spirit. And unfortunately, I should be living there now, but I think you get used to living with the awareness of certain things in your life, and you kind of get comfortable with it and live with it, type of thing. And I don't want to do that anymore. I feel that I have recognized within myself a tendency to intellectualize, talk, so, you know, convince people of certain things with certain logic and this and that. But the people, the life is in the spirit. People are drawn to God because they love him, because they want to know him, because they see something different. And no amount of logic or wisdom or all of those things are secondary to the expression of the love of the life of God within us. It's that life and that love that not only allows us to live freely, but attracts others to the Lord. So I feel that real vacancy within myself. And so that is my prayer. I'm just asking prayer for that specific thing for me, that that God would just lead me down that path of a clear conscience and a free spirit, and fill me with his Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord, we agree with Pat, but it is done by your Holy Spirit. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord. We want all of us want that. We all want to be at peace with you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for cleansing our minds of any transgressions, any kind of blackness, darkness. We praise you for that, Father. We want to be on that holy ground with you. We want to be able to walk with you. We want to be able to walk right up to you, Lord. We just praise you for doing that in each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Pat.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Pat. If you haven't listened to the broadcast Wednesday, I would ask that everybody do that. It's just an hour long. And David added some more to it today. So you might want to go back and listen to it again. He added about 3 or 4 more minutes on it, I think. Did he? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just remember that. There's some good stuff that he forgot to put on or didn't have finished but when the time came for him to do the broadcast. But anyway, check it out. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Claire.
Pat, you spoke to my heart, brother. Weeping here. Totally feel you. I have 2 praise reports. One, Andrea asked us to pray for her brother on Wednesday. His father-in-law was diagnosed with COVID and he had to go for a test. And so I said to her, what would you like me to pray for? And she came back with something quite obscure. And I said to her, okay, how about this? How about I take this to God? And as soon as I'm ready to pray, I'm just going to voice note it and send you that prayer, you know, then you can agree with me. And she said, okay. So I was busy in the kitchen, as is often the case. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and I sent this prayer and her whole, like everything changed. And she sent back a voice note and she just started agreeing and praying. And it was like something clicked. And she said to me, there is such power in prayer. Like, I can't believe why we don't do this more often. And so that in itself is a praise report. And I'm not, but like, I've only, not like the only reason I know how to pray is because I have access to David's teachings and I have access to all of you beautiful people who are so much further down the road. And it's amazing how prayer is just so powerful. And his tests came back negative the next day. So that was the first thing, which is like amazing, like within 24 hours. And then the other thing was, you know, my dear friend Kate, who's the worldly lady who I get to witness to every now and again. I reminded her of our tennis lesson for our children on Wednesday afternoon. And she said she's not coming her youngest son saw something bad from another person's iPad or something, like a scary movie or something. And so he's had such anxiety and bad dreams and nightmares, and he doesn't even want to go to the toilet by himself, and that's in the daylight. And so she's not coming to tennis. So I grabbed my three little kids and I said, right, we need to pray for Louis. And so I prayed first. And I mean, the kids hear all of you twice a week for the past 5 months. And then you should have heard the prayers of these baby children. I wish I could have recorded it. It was, oh my goodness, like, I don't deserve that. But what happened after was I told her we'd prayed for the little guy. And then I felt led to send her Psalm 91. Because I know that even in, you know, even unbelievers who speak that psalm in faith have been prepared and have been spared and have been provided for. So I sent that to her and I said, look, if you don't feel like praying this loudly, or if you feel like you're going to come under attack by praying it loudly in your house, then just put it on and I sent her Esther Mew's Psalm 91, because I only recently discovered Esther Mew because of Missy. So I sent her that. And she texted me yesterday morning and she said, Louis slept through and he went to bed without any problems. And he slept through again last night. So she said, and all I'm doing is reading that to him. And I'm amazed at the goodness of our Father. And I, with everything in me, like, I wish I could just maybe pull her gently and put some water on her. Do you know what I mean? Like, I so badly want this woman in the, you know, in the kingdom, but for a good way. Because if God is doing this for her at this outward level, imagine when she comes in. Like, it's just going to be amazing. And if she's got faith to do that now, what faith is she going to have when she understands that that power is inside of her and she's not just calling out, but she's actually got the authority? So it's just really, really exciting, and it's really humbling to watch, and it's all very good.
Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hey, Brandy.
Hey,
all
guys.
Right. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Renita, go ahead.
Aaron, that was beautiful. And praise the Lord for the children for listening in on this and then responding that way. That's amazing. I had been praying to the Lord and asking for just understanding on how to move out of my church that I'm in and what I should do. And I don't know, I just was reading Psalm 84, verse 10, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my Lord than live a good life in the homes of the wicked. And that just hit me, and I was like, I've got to do something. And so I made an appointment with our pastor and his wife and sat down with them and just told them, you know, it's like, I'm just totally in a different place than you guys are in so many different aspects that I just feel like I need to separate, and, you know, just had that conversation with them. And they encouraged me to stay, said I needed to be a part of a local fellowship, a local church. And so I don't know, I was, you know, I left and I was like, okay, well, I'll think about it. And I just, just crying and crying because I'm so close to them and they're just so much like family, and it's just so hard to leave. And I just feel so double-minded in the whole thing, but I just keep going back to that psalm and I just praise the Lord. My husband, like, Sunday came and I was like, okay, I think I'll just go to church because my son wanted to go. And he's like, no, you're not going to church. You're not going. And I mean, he just stood firm for me, and I needed that so badly. And so I haven't gone. So it's kind of, it's scary and tearful because I just do, you know, it's like they're my friends and I miss them. And so kind of been a hard couple days, but I'm making it through.
Well, I'll tell you what he told you, what that preacher told you, is what he tells, what all the rest of them tell too. They say the same thing. And go ahead, Barry.
My reply to that, to the pastor, would be, how can two walk together unless they be agreed?
Yeah.
You're not agreeing, you're not walking together. That's really the bottom line, as I see it.
Right.
You've come out the sandbox.
Yeah, I told him, you know, because I'm teaching there, and I said, I can't teach them because I'm not able to teach them what I think is the truth. And that's not fair. I mean, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. So, I mean, they still wanted me to teach them, but I don't know why.
Amen. Go ahead, Judy.
Hey, Vanita, I had the same kind of issue. And when I left the church too, I had a few people contact me and say, you know, use that scripture about, you know, not forsaking the assembling together or something, you know, like that. Or it's like, you know, if you have a problem, you know, you're just going to take it elsewhere. You need to get things, you know, settled here. And it's like, I just didn't have, you know, God gave me a lot of grace not to argue with them or anything like that and just say, no, it's like, you know, I really feel like God's telling me to leave. And I'm okay. I thanked them for their concern and all that. But then after I came out, God just opened up my understanding. And I was better equipped by what he was showing me how to pray for them. Mm. Because when you're in it, you don't see things clearly because the enemy's, you know, still blinding you. And he'll use those emotional bondages to, like, you know, you're so close to them and their friends and all that. You know what? It's like God's going to use your prayers, Benita, for each and every person that you love and care about there. He's going to use you now, you know. So don't, the enemy tried to put fear on me too, you know, that I was afraid I made the wrong decision. And that, you know, you shouldn't have gone. Now you're all by yourself. What are you going to do? And, you know, and then, you know, then, you know, things just changed for me and they're going to change for you and they're going to get better. And you have a lot of like-minded people here that you are walking in agreement with. So, yeah, God's going to show you a lot now. He really will.
You'll grow by leaps and bounds.
I think one of the things I worry about is everybody's so far away. And it's like when all this tribulation comes, I mean, as I thought through that, I'm like, yeah, but I will just abide in the Lord. And I just felt like I needed somebody close by and everybody so far away. I want you all here.
Vanita, you know what the main mode of travel is when the wilderness starts, tribulation starts? Translation. There's going to be a lot of people translating. Lots of them. Yeah, yeah, Missy.
There's going to be a lot of people that are going, the Lord's going to move around. He doesn't want you to be by yourself. He'll sovereignly arrange it, you know, that you all will be with other like-minded believers. That's where your heart is. The Lord will honor that, and he will make sure you are with other like-minded believers. So you just thank the Lord for that and pray, believing and asking the Lord for direction. And, you know, he'll give you signs. He'll use means of letting you know, what he's doing. Probably when you least expect it, you know. So he's watching over you and taking care of you.
Yeah, let me hang on just a second. Let me see. Randolph, is that you? That 717 number? You'll have to unmute yourself. Yeah, you go.
Yep, that's me. You? Hello, greetings from Harrisburg, greetings, Pennsylvania.
Bro. What part of Pennsylvania?
Up Harrisburg. Here,
Harrisburg, okay. We'll pray for you. We got some Pennsylvania people up here also. Yeah. One from two of them. Three of them. Okay. Three now, yeah. All right. Well, good to have you. What we're doing now is we start out by taking prayer requests and talking about praise reports and things like that. And then we do whatever the Lord leads. So we're right in the middle of praying and hearing testimonies. Okay, was that you, Julie, that had your hand up?
I did, and I think Claire did too. I just want to say real quick, Vanita, you can always pray and ask the Lord if there's anyone near you who is of like mind and has the same understanding and the same revelations, that if there's anybody that he wants you to fellowship with right now locally, to show you and to bring your paths together. Otherwise, just continue to seek him like you're doing, and listen to the teachings, fill up on the word, and rest in him to bring the people into your life he wants. That's all I wanted to add.
Okay. All right, Barbara, go ahead, hon.
Hi. I was just going to say, Vanita, that's what happened to me a few years back when I came to UBM and everything. I didn't know anybody. And I prayed and asked the Lord, you know, if he would, you know, open up a way where I can meet people like-minded, like Michael was saying, or Julie was saying. And that's how I met Missy. And there were two other women, but, well, they're no longer with us right now. And there was another guy, but he's no longer with us. But the point that I want to make is, you know, the Lord knows your heart. He sees your heart, and you want that fellowship in someone nearby that you can fellowship with. I believe the Lord, there's probably someone, I don't know where you're from, but there's probably someone right there in your vicinity that might even be connected with UBM or something, you know. But anyways, yeah, the Lord led me to some people from UBM. Hi, Missy. So anyways, just want to encourage you with that.
Thank you very much. That just all your experiences having gone through this already is a big help, because you've already been through it all. So it helps to hear all that. And I know Dave Nelson's only like 3 hours away, so somehow I got to get together with him.
Amen. Go ahead, Claire.
I just wanted to give you some encouragement as well. It seems like we're on a encourage Vanita train, and it's so awesome. Rianne and I's journey was a bit different. We started off in a little UBM fellowship in South Africa, and then the Lord brought us all the way here. And for 4 years, almost 4 years, we haven't had anything like-minded, remotely like-minded. And at one point, the Lord put a line of a hymn in my mind. He said, what a friend we have in Jesus. And I put that hymn on probably 8 times a day, maybe for a good 8 months. And that was my friendship. Like, that's what I had. I didn't know that I had, for some reason, we had forgotten about the UBM outreach, because it was at such a weird time in South Africa, and we weren't disciplined enough to wake up like Joe and Pietra. Also, we had very young children then, so you can imagine, like, that wasn't going to probably work very well with little toddlers. But so I want to encourage you that he is your best friend, and that he can put you literally, I live in a rainforest with 900 other people, and until 2 months ago, there weren't other like-minded believers here. And God helped us by bringing those people on our paths and bringing them into the kingdom, not us at all, but Christ in us. Do you know what I mean? So I just want to encourage you and say that he will do anything to give you community and to give you fellowship. He will translate you. He will help you baptize people. He will also take everything you need that distracts you and everything that is impure away. He will just burn it all if it's not if it's not bringing glory to him. And that's what happened to us. And and it's beautiful. And those 4 years, these 4 years have been the sweetest, even though I do moan at Adrian sometimes about certain things like not having adequate storage space and whatnot. But those are fleshly things, right? In the natural, in the spiritual, Jesus and your best friend, you're not going to go wrong.
Amen.
Everyone.
Hey, Rayon, how's it going, buddy? Yeah, you're talking through a muted mic.
Sorry.
I said I'm blessed, Michael. I'm blessed.
Yes, you are. Idea. Yes, you are. You're blessed beyond your wildest dreams, brother. Amen. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Claudia.
Mike, I was going to share something that maybe is good for everybody. You know, something that I noticed that I think I have been a little bit out of track because most of the time, I think I always want more from life. And that sometimes makes me feel like I cross the limits. For example, if I get to know somebody who knows a lot, I would like to sit with this person, talk about everything. If I don't, I feel like I'm losing. And then I call the person, want to talk, and then sometimes I feel like I'm doing my own way instead of waiting on the Lord. And I was observing that the Lord is... For the first time, he's shaping me to be somebody mature, who knows how to wait, who lets him to be God. And it's a little bit shameful because you expose your own self and you think everybody's watching, but it's not true. It's because the Lord wants you to see your own self sometimes and let go of your own self. And... this is, I don't know, it feels like, I don't know, it feels like less is more sometimes, and it's nice. This is it. You know how, for example, just to finish this up, like we prayed for my parents, Greg prayed with me too, and now they're being different. They're being loving, understanding, it's amazing. It's like pure Holy Spirit. And I know, praise the Lord for that, because it was the impossible. And now I want to be with them all the time. I want to enjoy them. And if it was like a long time before, when they say bad names or do whatever is not right, I would go and tell them, don't do that. This is not good, because I was trying to save them from whatever was negative. But now I don't do that anymore. Because I understand I can pray and the Lord answers prayers. That's it. And he forgives us a lot all the time, because the more you get mature, more you see how, if we don't trust him, don't fear him, we make a lot of mistakes and we are not proud of ourselves. And that's it. So just sharing.
That's some good wisdom. Very good wisdom. Amen.
Bye.
All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
I'm going to add to that, if it's okay, Claudia. I'm just going to let you know that the other day, and I'm never quite sure what to make of these things, but I had, I'm going to call it a flash, not necessarily a vision, because it was really quick, but it was you, and you were clothed in a very royal blue. Which, when I looked into research, it was a colour of royalty, which is basically, I take that to be the Lord saying, you know, you are one of his princesses, if you like, or royal in him. The other thing I'm just going to say for everyone here, I have been praying for Claudia's, well, with Claudia, for her family, and I'm just going to declare what's been going on. I continue to pray in the same vein that we have previously, Claudia, that the forces of darkness that have gathered around them are corralled back so that the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the you know, people of God, that they can listen to that with without interference from the enemy, and be ushered into the kingdom. And I believe that her father will go first and her mother will follow very, very quickly behind her. And her sister, who we've also prayed about, and I won't go into details, and as far as I'm aware, the family doesn't know where in the world her sister is. But she is also being drawn, and I've seen her being clothed in humility and being drawn geographically towards the family as well. This is just things that just come to me when I'm praying, and I'm not putting myself up a super spiritual man or stuff like that. But I'm just declaring these things as true.
Thank you, Greg, for that so much.
Hey, not me. I'm not taking credit.
God bless everybody.
Amen. Yeah, Lana, go ahead, or Theo.
Hey, Claudia mentioned how the Lord has answered her prayer regarding her parents. And I also wanted to ask for some supportive prayer as well. Last night, the Lord convicted me to completely let go and ask that he help me completely forgive my parents in the ways that they have treated me and the pain that I still feel remaining from those encounters. And I also recognize that I was raised in a very strict home, and not only that, but it's culturally normal not to express a lot of emotion in terms of showing love to each other in my family. And just a Slavic, Soviet, stoic kind of attitude. And so I'm struggling with how to show my parents that I still love them and I want to honor them. And I want to be free of any legalism or retaliation toward them in my emotions. And that's what the enemy uses against me a lot in trying to condemn me for being unforgiving toward them. And so I really want to be free of all this and have the wisdom from the Lord as to how I can show them in the rare, I shouldn't say rare, but less than often opportunities I have to speak to them when we FaceTime, because they're out in Tennessee and I'm here in Missouri. So Father God, thank you so much for convicting me last night and giving me the opportunity to repent and cleanse my heart of any remaining crumbs of unforgiveness toward my family, my siblings, and my parents, Father God, and my relatives. You know, it's my deepest desire to be completely free of this. I ask for your mercy, your grace, Father God, to be able to show this in return to them, Father God. But I struggle, Father God, with the emotional part and how do I show them, Father God, in the few opportunities that I have, that I am still their daughter and I love them, Father God, and I want to honor them, Father God. So I ask, Father God, with these precious brothers and sisters of mine who support and believe with me, that you pour out your grace and mercy and wisdom, Father God, and give me the ability to show this, that they will have no doubt in their mind that Lana still loves them and she desires greatly to honor them. And if I could reach through the telephone, through the screens, Father God, I would, Father God, but I feel like words such as I love you are too American for them. It might sound strange, but I know it's not enough. They expect so much of me, Father God. But again, I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in your wisdom and the grace that you continue to give to me, Father God, that I can show it to them because I know they hurt. They continue to hurt. They worry for me, Father God. They don't understand, Father God, why we're not in church. They think we've gone astray, Father God, and there's nothing I can do or say because they won't talk to me about it. So I'm trusting you, I'm asking you, and I'm thanking you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Lana, and we believe that you're doing a work in them and her right now in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for complete restoration of Lana and her parents and siblings in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be an awesome, awesome reunion in the name of Jesus, without any religiosity on the other part, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We believe it, Lana. It's going to happen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Missy.
I just would like to pray, Father, would you just tear down all religious spirits, any hindering spirits that would hinder Lana's parents from receiving what it is you put in her heart to spontaneously express her love and appreciation and gratitude to her parents for being her parents and honoring her parents, Lord. And just to touch them in the depths of their heart, Lord. And that they would know and understand Lana's love for them. And that, Lord, that it's not just Lana's love for them, but it's your love for them. And we just tear down all those spiritual walls, all those religious spiritual walls, and any legalism and law and perfectionism and condemnation. We just tear all those things down in the name of Jesus, and just flood them, Lord, with your love and your grace to receive Lana and to receive the Christ in her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead,
Claudia. Dear Lord and Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for making us alive, which means to be able to think, because thinking is a miracle. And I'm sure that you are the one who lets us think, because you put your thoughts inside of our minds. And when Lana thinks, it's her wish. For sure, it's your wish that they learn with you, Father. And she wants you to teach them, to open up opportunities that she can teach them things that are good for them. And sometimes when she feels like her effort's not good enough, she feels like she doesn't know what to do. But sometimes our efforts are very good enough. But you, Lord, just want us to never give up. You're training us to persist, to insist. Why? Because this is the way that you keep us with a good mind. If not, our minds start to think thoughts that we're not supposed to think, just because things wants to distract us, and you give us the opportunity to insist and to understand that you're listening to us. So I'd like to ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to help Lana just to know what she would like her parents to know, to confess it to you, to share with you, and just to put her mind in the right place. Because if we're not able to have a subject with you and to speak about things that are important, our mind gets messed up. So you have your ways, and your ways are beautiful. Thank you so much for putting inside of her heart good wishes for her parents, because you're pleased. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. All right, what y'all want to talk about tonight? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
I just got a verse here. I'm just going to read it. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, from whom all fatherhood in the heavens and on the earth are named, that he give you according to the riches of his glory to be made mighty through his spirit unto the inward man. So the Lord knows that you want to honor fatherhood. And glory to the Lord, agape style.
All right. Thank you, Lord. I ran across a couple of things today, if you don't mind, I relate them, and it's just a statement, a couple of statements. And here's one of them. It says, a hundredfold consecration to God takes the individual forever out of the hands of all but God. When one trusts any department of his being to man, he is weak in that respect, and that part of his being is not committed to God. Did y'all get that? What he's saying is this, when you commit everything you have, you said, as Andrew Murray says, and you absolutely surrender everything to the Lord, that takes everything from that individual out of the hands of all but God. But when you trust any department of his being to man rather than God, he is weak in that respect, and that part of his being is not committed to God. Very profound saying. That's what we all strive for. And we allow the Holy Spirit to do that in us, to take us right all 100% to God. When we lay it all at his feet, surrender yourself to him, where nothing left but God. Any comment? Yeah, Pat.
Well, that was, in another way, kind of my statement that I made. And I think that's kind of what the Lord is showing me. And, you know, I've been reading, or had read, I haven't done it for a while, but there was a website that was, it's called Enter His Rest. And it's basically all about the West, John Wesley, and a lot of the older writers, and I guess the what do they call it, the holiness movement back in the late 1700s and early 1800s, and this is where from their perspective in those days, shall we say, before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not that the baptism of the Holy Spirit came later, but became God started bringing it into the Christian mindset, I guess, bringing it to the surface. And more easily clarified what that was. Well, back in those days, the holiness, in the holiness movement, this filling of the Holy Spirit and this place of Christ becoming all in you. And that place of participation of rest, where you could actually really, by faith, rest in the fact that God really put to death that old man, and that you have finally come into that place of resting in that truth, which so permeates your whole soul as to bring you into a place of rest. They call that experience the, it's called many things, the second blessing or the double cure or various other different things. It's kind of interesting to read back at that. But as I was reading their process of bringing people into that, it all has to do with exactly what you said, Michael, and that is a place of finally surrendering and giving up all that we are over into the hands of God in a real practical faith awareness type of thing that happens. And it seems like as you mature in the things of God and learn, the more you learn, the more you, at least the more I feel like I'm more clearly understanding what that is and what it is in my heart to have that, to be resting in that totality of Christ's life. But it seems like I'm almost getting farther from it. You know, it's more in the horizon, which that may or may not be the fact. But it just struck me that what you said that in those words were exactly what I was feeling when I expressed my prayer and request earlier. So who wrote that, by the way?
I think I got that out of Lake's book.
Lake.
Yeah.
See, yeah. He wasn't John Lake, was he in the early 1800s or when was his time for? No?
I think he was born in 1875 and died in 1925.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, that's all I had to say.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? It's the holiness walk. You know, God's bringing that back and has been for the last few years.
Can I just say one other thing?
Sure.
I guess not that there's any rules around here. I believe that it's kind of that scripture where it says, look at that cloud of witnesses that are around you. And of course, the Lord obviously meant the cloud of witnesses of like you, cloud of witnesses right here, but also the cloud of witnesses that those who have come before us, that like the Wesleys and all of those. And it's interesting that if John Wesley could see what his movement turned into, he'd be turning over in his grave right now if that's even possible. But the thing is they had to, in their day, say, deal with life and the resources they had that God had provided them. I'm not speaking of monetary or physical resources, but the awareness that God had allowed in the cosmos up to that point. Because if you think about the life of history, of Christian history, it started with a boom, and then it went into the dark ages, and God allowed the darkness to overcome, and then and then he brought it out in spurts in the holiness movement in the 1700s. And even before that, who was it? Martin Luther that fought against the Catholic Church, that type of structure, and brought justified by faith into the mindset of Christianity at that time, and of course did some things and whatever. Now, was that whole movement perfect? No, because we're looking here at the seeds around right now of what that spawned. But what did it do? God was building something and doing something and raising awareness of the Christian mindset and bringing it back out of the dark ages and back into light. And all these things happened up through John Lake and Charles Finney and the holiness movement and all that, just building upon the past and building and building and building. In the early 1900s, the receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that whole movement that came about. And so it's all kind of brought up to this point in history, I believe. I'll just tell you something, kind of an example of the same thing. And I think everybody's heard of Tesla, right? Nikola Tesla. Well, if you actually read about the guy, he was a tremendous inventor. He had something like, still has about somewhere in around 900 patents. He's the one that is responsible for electrifying or powering the world. His concept of alternating current, electricity, and how to power the world was instrumental in, was really brought us into the age of where we're at right now. It transformed the world. And he was in competition, so to speak, with Thomas Edison. Everybody knows who Thomas Edison is. Very few people know who Nikola Tesla is, but Nikola Tesla transformed the world with what he knew. And I think I've said this before, but I mentioned that even the automobile Tesla is the absolute opposite of what Nikola Tesla actually represented in the new technology. Well, this whole thing built upon this was an example of God pouring invention and creation into his mind, because he said that he never built any one of his inventions without building it in his mind or seeing it first. And he never wrote it down. He always wrote the thing down after he built it. And God just kind of poured it into his brain and he did it. Interesting thing about it is when he was born, his parents, I think his father was a preacher or something like that, mother, or they were connected with the church of some sort. He was born, with a midwife, and he was born in the middle of a raging storm. And the midwife said, this child is going to be a son of the storm or something like that. And his mother corrected her and said, no, this boy will be a son of lightning. And if you read about his life, you see exactly what he did with lightning and light and high voltage and all this sort of thing. And it was God bringing that awareness into the psyche of the world. And I think he's doing the same thing right now, because he's really, the Lord is is building upon a foundation that was laid a long time ago, and bringing these things out in this later day and age. So anyway, I'm through rambling.
Yeah, he was an interesting guy. Just a little short story. One of the ladies here was living in a house with another lady, written from her, and she told her, or she knew this other lady, she told her the story of, well, she was written from her. She told her the story of her husband, and her husband worked with Nikolai Tesla here at Sweetwater. And older, real old lady. And when he died, he was a young man when Nikolai, when he worked with Nikolai, Nikolai was an older guy at the time. But he did some things with him, and he had all of his records up in the attic. And what happened was she married him later in life, married this guy later in life. She was his second wife, and he had children from his first wife. Anyway, the children came in there and got the files, some of the files of Tesla's. It was Tesla's files and his. And then the government came in and got the rest of them. So all of the Tesla stuff is confiscated by, actually most of it, by the government. They have most of that stuff. Yeah, he was a brilliant guy. He got most of his, almost everything from God. He got it all from God. God would show him, like Pat was talking about. Interesting guy. Interesting. As a matter of fact, some of the patents he got, he's got free energy. He knew and developed free energy, free electrical energy. And it's been in use by certain realms of the deep state. And but Trump's fixing to bring it all out, hopefully. That's one of them. It's an amazing story. But anyway, bless God. That was God. All right, anyone else? Yeah, you talked about Wesley. I just got through reading something about him writing to his brother, Charles. And he was actually being very blunt. He said, he was talking to him about the state of the church and how it had fallen away from what they had established. And he was getting on, he said, the reason, Charles, that it's falling like it is because we haven't been praying enough. We haven't been praying steadily for it. And he said, it's up to us to be we're the leaders. We have to be praying for it. That's our job, is to be praying for it. You remember what the disciples did in Acts? They told them, well, we're going to appoint some guys to do this menial task so that we can devote our time to prayer and the word. And that's what our job is. That's our job, is to stay in the word and pray. Prayer is the life of the church. Prayer is the life of your family. And prayer is the life of yourself. It's a good thing to be, you know. Why not get up early in the morning and do it, you know, for the day? Get your prayers, say your prayers, and get close with God at that time. Okay, anybody else?
Can I ask you a question, Michael?
No. Go ahead, Pat. Yes, you may.
What's the difference between prayer and intercession?
Well, prayer is part of, intercession is part of prayer. But prayer itself encompasses it all. Intercessory is part of prayer. Intercession is interceding for other people and yourself. Prayer could be doing something for yourself, asking God for something, you know, to help you do something, to whatever. But intercession is praying for other people that God puts on your heart, or ministry, or whatever. Is that not right? If somebody got a different perspective on that, go right ahead. I remember reading about Charles Finney's prayer mat, Father, what do they call him? Gosh. Oh, Father Nash. They called him Father Nash. Now, he didn't get paid for any of this. He didn't get paid for it, but he would go before Finney, wherever he was going to have a meeting, and he would pray. He'd go there a few days early and go up there and just do nothing but pray for the meeting and for the town, for the intercede. He would intercede for the town. And that's why Finney was so successful. One of the reasons why he was so successful. One time when he was doing it in up in New York, what's the name of that town that they had that big revival up there where 100,000 people came to Jesus. And they came back a few years later to check and see how many had stayed in the faith, you know. And more than three quarters of them had stayed with the faith. But what happened, Nash came in, got him a room, and he started interceding. Now, Nash was not a quiet prayer warrior. And the people in the building, you know, they get this. When Finney showed up, they said, "We don't know what's going on up there, but this guy, Nash," said, he sounds like he's dying up there. And Finney told him, he said, "Oh, don't worry about Brother Nash. That he's praying up there. He's interceding. He's what do they call that?
Travailing.
Travailing. Yeah. Thank you, Judy. Mm-hmm. He was travailing. And that's what he'd do. And that's why the revival up there, gosh, I wish I could think of the name of that. It's a North New York city up there. Rockport, something like that. Anyway, great story. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
I just post a verse on the chat. I just want to ask is what's that meaning of the sick, the last part of it spiritually?
What's that? What was true?
Joe, I don't see anything in the chat from you.
Oh, here it is. Matthew 25:8. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Okay, what's the question?
You're muted, Joe. We didn't hear you.
I'm asleep almost here. What's the last part of its meaning spiritually? The last part of the verse.
Okay. Our lamps are going out. Give us of your oil.
No. The lamps are going out.
Oh, our lamps.
What does that mean? Out, yeah.
They hadn't been conversing with the Lord again. Their oil is low. They hadn't been spending time with the Lord. Somebody else, come on, help me if you want to. That's the way I see it. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, the lamp is something that's in your temple, and it's the glory of God. I would suggest to you that in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, that there's variables to this lamp for each light. Hanukkah's tomorrow, by the way. And they had seven lights there, the central light and the three to each side. The central light represented the Spirit of God. And of course, that light fed all the other lights. But the glory of God, because it has to do around knowledge and wisdom and understanding, which have words attached to them, is also the Spirit of God, because, you know, the words that I say unto you are spirit in our life. So this spirit that you received, and when you bear more fruit, you get more light and you get more faith. And it's all through grace, of course, because it's from grace to grace. It's a definite article. I think it's because of his fullness, we all receive the grace upon grace. And there's only one grace. There's not a bunch of graces, because there's no greasy grace, as David told us once. And, you know, and what you have is the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the Spirit of God, the fear of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, and the counsel of the Lord. And that's all seven lights, but there are also seven spirits, which I believe is mentioned in Revelation chapter 1, seven spirits. And it's a lamp that's in your temple. And these people, their lights were going out, because of course you also know that they didn't take extra oil with them. If they didn't take the extra oil with them, that's the anointing. And that's the central spirit, the Spirit of God. And they didn't bear the fruit. They didn't have the glory from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And of course, it's faith to faith also in Romans 1, 16 and 17. And if it's faith to faith, and faith worketh love, then love also increases in a person in accordance to the faith he has, in accordance to the glory that God has given to him, how much he shines as a person, whether it be star, moon, or sun glory. And all by his grace, of course, his wonderful grace. It's always by his grace. He saved us through faith, and it was a gift from God. So they didn't get enough gifts. They didn't ask. They didn't seek. They didn't knock. And those are all promises. And well, that's the first time, you know, like when I came to UVM, they taught us about the spiritual temple of the Lord. And I begin to look at some of this stuff, and I think that lamp is very important. And you're the priest that has to keep it lit. And of course, there's a lot of verses we know. If you walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's what we're doing here now. And the blood of Jesus shall cleanse us from all our sins. There's lots of light verses, you know. There's the light verse there right in the John chapter 1, too. How it goes from word to life to light in John chapter 1, the first four verses. So, and of course, the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. But I'm sure if you meditate on it, you can get a lot of verses. But don't meditate according to the ink on the page or what's ever engraved in stone, because only printers do that, or stone carvers. We get this written upon our hearts by the Spirit of God. You know, it's all written there. So if he's going to give you the law of liberty or the royal law, it's going to go into your heart. And it's from there that it manifests in us. And from there, we get our answers from God. Anyway, glory to God. Agape style.
Thanks, Andrew.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. That was good. What in the world was that, Donna? Theo? I don't know. Agape style, yeah. Yeah, Pat.
Joe, can I ask you a question? When you're, I'm pulling that back up. I'm looking there at verse 4 of that same story. And it says, but the wise took, it said, the. I'm sorry, verse 3 says, for the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. What does that oil to you, what does that oil represent when you think of it?
I would say it's a fruit of the Spirit, growing in Christ, walking as Christ walked. Yet another word and not the doer of a word. You have to be both. So I think.
Amen. Yeah, I was thinking of it, kind of what Andrew was saying there as well, that the it's interesting that the oil, they took their lamps. So the wise and the unwise or the foolish both had lamps. They both had a vessel to carry the oil. But the wise took oil and the unwise didn't take oil. And then an interesting thing, it says, the next verse says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And so from the outside observer, they would look and probably, for the most part, wouldn't see the difference between the two, because they were all slumbering and sleeping. They were all, the light wasn't shining. I mean, I won't say it wasn't shining, but it wasn't lit. And I'm thinking of that verse that God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And so I was looking, and then the midnight cry came in verse 6, behold the bridegroom, come ye forth to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. So it seems like they had a little oil in there. Maybe they didn't think it was going to make it through the darkness or whatever. It says it is going out. It's not out, or we are not able to light it. It's going out. So I'm not sure what the inference is there, what he's saying. But the wise answered, saying, peradventure there will not be enough for us and you. Go rather and buy to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. So they must have saw that it wasn't, however much oil they had, wasn't going to carry them through the darkness or in order to meet the Lord. So I've thought about that same thing, but I guess I'm thinking that the oil itself, it something that is in the lamp that moistens the wick, that when the match is lit, it burns up that oil or that life. And so I don't know, I'm just kind of catching the parallels, kind of what Andrew is saying there. So Missy wants to say something, I'll just shut up.
Go ahead, Missy.
Well, that part about they went to the other five, the foolish virgins went to the wise and said, you know, we don't have enough. They wanted to buy from them. And, you know, what came to me was work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't get it from someone else. And, you know, not having enough oil just makes me think of the parable of the talents, you know, the one that had 10, the one that had 5, and the one that had 1. You know, if you don't use what you got and produce more, you can't straddle the fence. You can't stay on one level. You can't, you know, when you come into the kingdom, you can't just stay there. You either are growing in the Lord or you're backsliding. There's no such thing as, you know, on an even keel. You got to grow, or either you gain ground or you lose ground. Those are just some things that came to me.
Amen. Put your mask on.
Just want to
go ahead, Brad,
put out there that I'm taking a look at Matthew 25, verse 2. I think that's the area that we have in mind that we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just looking at the text itself. Don't have any further comment at this time.
Yeah. Amen. It's Tracy. Okay, anyone else? It's someone that the virgins that have not enough oil is someone that's at 29.5 fold. Go ahead, Rion. Where'd he go?
Here I am.
Oh, there you are, up there.
So we were, me and I were just discussing something, and we're thinking that if the bridegroom represents, and I know Malcolm will love this because I know he loves it when we go super spiritual on these things, right? So if the man-child is the groom, and the bride, you know, is the bride, those two are sort of they're in, right? They're not going anywhere. They're part of the marriage feast. The virgins seems to me to be on the edge there, kind of not really sure why is the bridegroom taking long. Know that they have to be at this marriage feast, but then some are wise and some are foolish. And I wonder if that kind of relates to, when I think of oil, if that relates to fruit, which is faith, and which is also the glory of 30, 60 to 100 fold, where the virgins kind of represents the 30 fold perhaps. And it seems to me that they kind of teetering on the edge there of being part of this marriage feast or not. And that same verse came to us as well that Missy said, where you've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, as in you've got to walk your own walk, have your own like own faith. You've got to ask God for that faith. You've got to ask for Him to make sure that you bring enough oil that you will be sure that you're part of this marriage feast. And you cannot rely on someone else's faith. You can't hang on the coattails, as they say, of the church that you're in, perhaps, or the pastor. And a lot of people doing is that they currently now the bridegroom is very, very close to coming, and they consider themselves part of the body as virgins and pure and clean. But the Lord is not coming back for the virgins. He's coming back for the oil. He's coming back for the fruit. And you can't bear fruit if you don't have the anointing, you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't follow the pure, true word. And the other thing that I thought was, without oil, there's no burning. There's no burning away of the flesh. You can't have the light for one, and you can't burn away any of the flesh. And the light is really just having that faith. And I think that's kind of what I see that as, is that that lamp is more like a torch. It's not really, I don't think it's more like a lantern like we probably know it. It's more like those torches that you used to walk around in. It's not something that you can keep oil in. It's those torches burn out, and you've got to keep adding on to it. And that's persevering, and that's overcoming, and that's continuing in your faith. Because I thought, when I looked at the passage here, it seems almost harsh that these guys were virgins. They had oil in their lamp. They just didn't bring any extra oil. And they were just as sleepy and slumbering as the other virgins, but they didn't continue on. They went back to go and try and buy some more oil to try and get in. And then the Lord shut them out. And there's gonna come a time very, very soon where the door is shutting, and you won't be able to come in anymore. And it's a very big warning. Absolutely.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Rhea. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Phil. Did you raise your hand? Okay. Yeah, Andrew. You can't move your hand around here, Phil. I'll call on you. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, is the verse go like this, that God made the light to shine out of the darkness? Is the word made there? Like it refers to creation here. We don't make the oil, you know, we have to ask for it. So I think this is a continual creation for God, for us to become closer and closer. Our goal should be to have the hundredfold fruit, but God made the light. He makes the oil for you. And I guess the wise ones went and collected more oil while there was time to collect it. And God made them that way, made them children of light. There's a lot of light told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So this light is what the spiritual realm sees you as. So, you know, you shine as whatever intensity you have, but God made you that. You know, the children are not going to shine as much as the more mature. So, but to collate these things together, you know, I like the way some people collate it together. It's really interesting to look at it. Especially what Rion said there. I think it's really interesting what he said there. But I just wanted to put emphasis that it's God still making us.
Just add one more thing that we just thought of as well, is that I've often wondered about this passage as well. And I wonder if they just said that their lamps are going out. It wasn't out yet. I wondered if they didn't go and try and buy more oil, if they just stayed there and continued on and just had faith that their torches will keep on going, if they would have, they didn't know when, how long before the bridegroom comes, right? How much time do they have? Is this torch going to go out before he comes? But if they had faith, they would have said, no, I've got enough. I've got all my needs supplied, everything I need. I'm going to continue. Even if I see others that've got more oil, I'm going to continue and go on. I wondered if the error that they made is not the fact that they didn't have enough oil and that they then had to go and buy, or if the error was that they gave up faith that their lamps will keep on burning and they went to go buy, and that's, and oh, now look, they were unlucky because then the bridegroom came. No, the bridegroom will come because of faith. You know, that's, you might persevere. If they persevered, maybe they would have entered. They would have knocked on there to go, our torches on just about out. Can we come in now? And he would have said, I know you. I know you. You have faith. Yes, you can come in.
You know what tomorrow is, eh? It's Hanukkah. And they had to make oil, and they only had enough for one day. And he made that oil last longer. So, you know, that there's the answer for you right there. And it lasted 7 days longer, and that's what we're going to need in the end. For 7 years. It's interesting how we're talking about light and oil, and tomorrow's their day for that, that they celebrated. I don't know if it's the exact day or whatever it represents, but.
Yeah, good point, Judy. Did you have your hand up, or did you just post it in the chat?
Oh, I was kind of going to share something I was thinking, but I kind of thought the oil is the Holy Spirit. Our lamp is the Word of God. I mean, it's all Jesus anyhow, however you look at it. It's the Word, it's the oil, it's the lamp, it's the enlightenment. And I just think that, you know, the foolish took no oil with them. They had lamps, they took no, foolish, if you look up the word foolish and what that means, isn't that without God? I'm not sure about that. You might have to look. I think that's what it is. It's foolish is without God. And so they don't have enough in them. It's like you're the wise or the foolish. And the Lord, I just believe that parable is just showing a distinction. It's like, you know, don't let your lamp go out. You know, be serious about seeking the Lord and spending time in the Word. Fill up on the Word. And the Word is a lamp unto our feet. You know, it shows us where we are. It shows us where we're to go. And the Word's Christ. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. So I think the oil is just the anointing that comes with the Word, the enlightenment. So that's all I wanted to share.
Okay. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I just wanted to, there's two angles there that I could see. And that is, number one, the concept of Noah, that God came and told Noah to do something, build a ship. So the end of the world has, you know, I'm getting a little irritated now with mankind, how it's happened. Build a boat, because I'm going to destroy the world or whatever. If you read the whole thing, he didn't tell him when. But, and so Noah started building the boat. And then he came back later and he got a few more clues, you know. And then if you continue to read the story, you'll see that right at the very end, God actually told him that 6 days it's going to break open and rain. Now, if he wouldn't have built that boat, if God would have came back and Noah hadn't have built that boat, or hadn't even started, I suspect that God would have raised somebody else up, or he would have put a fire under Noah, or whatever needed to happen. So there is the aspect of ignoring God's word, the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and putting yourself past the point, putting you past the point of the learning curve. In other words, I explained in my life, I learned through failure. Attempt, fail, keep pushing on, fail. That one doesn't work, move on, I fail until I finally get it. And that's a learning curve that you learn and learn and learn until you get it. Well, when the tribulation hits, the learning curve is greatly reduced. In other words, you, at that point in time, having no oil in your lamp and repenting and wholeheartedly trusting God, receiving His Spirit and walking according to His Spirit, you will make it through the process, however far God needs to take you or wants to take you. You will find success in that repentance, and you will have the light that you need. However, you have lost your learning curve, and many times, you know, you don't have the ability to, you know, fail and try it again because you're simply out of time. There's no more time to fail, so to speak. You got to be, I believe that's why God gives us that learning curve to mature us and to get us sensitive to listen to His Holy Spirit and to learn obedience and that whole process, because it has to be second. I think He will make it very second, I mean, first nature within us, I guess that would be the thought, so that we don't have to worry about the learning curve. We're moving on. And I believe that the Spirit that is poured out, that anointing that is poured out in that day, that the people that know how to express and how to train people to move in the steps of faith, though the people that are learning in those days, well, the Spirit will bypass a lot of that learning curve scenario and put them right into the process. And I think that's the kind of the early latter rain combination that is going to happen there. And where did he say that he poured out the latter rain and the former rain at the same time? That he's going to pour out the Spirit that will allow people to bypass the learning curve and move right into running pace. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. Well,
I'd like to say something.
Go ahead, Randall.
All right. I believe it starts with then, for this verse in chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like. So therefore, chapter 24, you know, is all part of this as well, which in context seems to be real important, because no one knows the day or the hour. It starts in verse 36. Before that, the lessons of the fig tree, and even the coming of the Son of Man in verse 29. So all of that probably would be very helpful in context to leading into what it's really saying there. It's pretty much all I have, but I've been enjoying the comments.
Okay. Thank you, Randolph. Good to have you, brother. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another great night. We ask for your continued work in our lives, Lord, to bring us with our lamps trimmed and the oil filled up. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we're all going to be ready because we believe, Lord. We're running after you with all our hearts, Lord. We praise you for it. Lord, give us all a good night's sleep tonight. Wake up tomorrow supercharged. Lord, we thank you for placing it in our hearts to continue to pray against the evil forces. And pray for our brothers and sisters Thank you, Lord, for placing that in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. May y'all be blessed. Amen.